This is the lecture for June 1996. The title is Mosaic Prophecies for the End Time. One of the essential ways in which God proves himself is by stating prophecies that later come true. Sometimes the later the prophecies take place, the more powerful it makes God to appear, because it helps to show that it is he who is the one governing all affairs on earth, and that could be extended to include the entirety of this universe. James, the legal half-brother of Christ, explained the power of God in governing all historical events, whether those events are past, present, or future. He made a statement in Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, quote, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world," unquote. Now, he meant that as a definite statement of truth. And by the way, it happens to be one. We find that that dictum there, that maxim, which was stated by James, is reiterated time and again, both in the Old Testament and in other places of the New Testament. We find that it is God who controls all affairs here on this earth. And though there is a Satan that the Bible tells us is here as well, we find that all things that even Satan does are within the parameters that God approves. God is the one in charge of all things on earth, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Now, it's up to us to understand how God works in human affairs. It's up to us to know through the biblical revelation how he can work with each of us individually. And by the way, what we are required to do in the sense of responsibility. He is the one who has revealed who he is. He is our Father. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We are brothers and sisters of one another. And the human race is destined to become members of the very family of God. In actual fact, in a nascent sense, already, we are the children of God. We just do not have the spiritual body and the spiritual character, and I might add, the spiritual knowledge and understanding, and the wisdom that God the Father and Christ Jesus have at the present time. But we are even prophesied to receive that very knowledge, the very attributes of God in the future. That is why we are here. We need to know who we are, where we're going, why we are here, what our responsibilities are. And you know, once we know those things, and the Bible can reveal them very well indeed, it helps each one of us to appreciate each other, as well as our own lives that God has given us here on this earth. God demonstrates himself and his power by various means. But one of the essential factors that he uses in order to demonstrate his authority and his governorship, his sovereignty over the world and the universe, is his ability to make prophecies in the past and in the distant future to bring them to pass. That is, that he is the one who moves the chess pieces on the board. He is the one who does what is necessary to bring to pass his plan for the human race and for the universe. That is why James very wisely stated, and by the way, he did this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wisely stated that known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And that is an absolutely a fact. Indeed, each of you listening to this lecture, who now lives in the end of the 20th century, and that includes me giving this lecture at this present time, we, all of us, have figured into God's plan even from before the foundation of the world, before he even made the earth. And that is an absolute fact. You were known many, many generations ago, long before the world was ever created. I'm talking about you personally. And if you want to know who you are, just go to a mirror and look and say to yourself your name. And that name is well known by God the Father himself and Christ Jesus. He knows you just as he knows me. He knows each one of us, but he also knows all others in the world. He has created us for a purpose. He has created us to appear at this very time in history. At the end of the 20th century, he doesn't want us appearing a moment before his divine plan states it, nor does he want us to appear a moment later than when he has designed for us. There's a marvelous and wonderful power in existence which governs our lives if we have wisdom to understand it. Now, we can do as we please within certain parameters. That is quite true. But you know, when we talk about human free will, when you really look at it, it's nothing more than a reflection. of God's will in heaven, and that is absolutely divinely stated in the Word of God. That's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It is actually God who designs in us and that motivates in us His will, His purpose, His method of doing things in a mysterious way. And what we need to do is to find out what that will really is. We need to especially know what the divine plan of God really is that He is carrying out here below on this earth, which He started many years ago with the creation of our first parents, Adam and Eve. But before our first parents were ever created, you were actually known, and I was known. And so was the Apostle Paul in those 2,000 years ago, and so will be those another 1,000 years from now. At the end of the millennium, they are all known in the plan of God, and that is abundantly proved, both in the New Testament and even in the Old. But here we have 2 Timothy, the last epistle that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. And he was summing up, shall we say, the divine teaching which had been bequeathed to him by Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And he was saying here a divine teaching which all of us ought to take into account. It regards history. It regards prophecy. It regards you and me. It shows that God does know His works from the beginning of the world unto the end. And He knows them, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And in regard to you and me, everything will work out for good. That's what the Scripture says. He has designed things eventually to work out for good for each one of us, including His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we find ourselves in being. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 that it is God who, that's the Father, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. This is one of the last statements that the Apostle Paul ever wrote, and he wanted to leave it with you and me so that we could realize that we are not an accident. You are not an accident. God knows you, and He knows your children. He knows your grandchildren. And He knows your father and mother, or grandmother and father, though they may be dead at the present time. He is very much aware of every single one of them, and He's very much aware of you and of me. That is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. And if we have difficulty in trying to understand the powers of God in His manifestation of his wisdom and education in matters such as this, that's only because we have a lack of knowledge and understanding at the present time. He possesses a great deal of more knowledge than you and I do. And He's expressed it through the pages of the Bible, which have been written by over 30 different men under inspiration of God, dating all the way back to before the time of Moses and all the way forward to the time of John the Apostle, who wrote the last part of the New Testament. But in the very first section of the Bible, where Moses was the main author, he discusses things in the book of Genesis from earlier records that he had, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. But this lecture is going to be concerned primarily with what Moses wrote. What he wrote concerning the future for mankind, the future for Israel, the future for the world, and where we all fit into it. God gave him knowledge, special knowledge, that he has recorded in various sections of the Mosaic writings, in particular in one long song that is designed primarily, it's a song or a psalm for Israel, but it also has ramifications to include all of the people on the earth, because it deals with the end time. Moses, you see, was not only someone that was selected by God to raise up the nation of Israel some 14 centuries before the birth of Christ, and to give them laws and commandments and judgments that they were to keep, and all of that, with great miracles, by the way, to be able to sustain and to show who God really was. But he wasn't just called to rear up the nation of Israel. He was also called to show what this priestly nation called Israel would be doing through the ages and what the completion of the role of Israel would be like at the end of the age, at the end of the age when the kingdom of God would emerge on the earth. when we would have a period of time here on the earth in which God himself would rule. Rule with laws and commandments which would be for the benefit of mankind and which mankind would be able to experience. And also at the same time to make judgments and comparisons upon the ways of God relative to the ways of men. God is working out a plan here below, and he revealed much of that to Moses in the earlier period. In fact, even our salvation, as I pointed out in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, was so secure, not dependent upon your works, whether they be good or bad, that salvation was secured in Christ before the foundation of the world. It means that before he put into a prophetic plan the events which would make the world to be what you and I have recognized it to be, and what it is now, and what it will be. Before he ever did anything of that nature, he selected you to be a part of it. He selected you to be a member of his divine family. Be you a male or female, doesn't make any difference. He selected you. He selected me. He selected us so that we could fit into this plan that James was talking about, where all the works of God are known from the beginning, so that we can be assured that he will be successful, and that we will be in the divine family that he prognosticated generations ago, even before the foundation of the world. That is the comfort that you need, that I need, that all of us need. So we find that prophecy has been given to us by Moses and by others, primarily as a means of proving God, proving that he's in charge. He is the one who's moving all of the pieces on the chessboard. He is the one who knows what he is doing. And he will fulfill everything to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T, exactly in the fashion that he sees is warranted to be able to bring his plan to pass. We find in Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, speaking about the very end time, John was in this particular case, he said that Jesus Christ, the Father's only begotten Son, that he sent here onto this earth to die for mankind and to be resurrected as well. But he says that he was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, he wasn't actually slain, but in the plan of God he was slain. Our salvation, though it was given to us before the foundation of the world in Christ, Christ only secured it for us by his death on the tree of crucifixion some 2,000 years ago, and also by his resurrection from the dead, and I might say by his second coming, which is still in the future to us. And God gives prophecies to each of us to see in the scripture, which have actually happened in the past. We can see those, many of them, especially related to his own son, Jesus Christ, to give us an assurance and a security that the things he's prognosticated for the future, especially the second advent of Jesus Christ and our resurrection from the dead, which will take place at that exact moment, we can have assurance that those things will also take place. That is the reason why prophecy is given, you see. And in the plan of God, all mankind has been created, according to God, to be able to place them eventually and finally into the very family of God. And so he has here on this earth a divine plan which he has himself planned out and ordered and arranged so that each of us, if we read the scripture very carefully, can find out where we fit into that plan. The plan will find itself into fruition by the resurrection from the dead, when you and I are changed from this mortal into immortality, from this corrupting state into incorruption, from the time of our natural existence into a divine spiritual existence, which he is planning to give to each one of us. Now, when all of that takes place, we'll be able to look back on this history that God has given us from the time of Adam and Eve on through to today and to tomorrow and the next day and reaching into the period just in advance of us called the end time, which we are just on the threshold of entering at this very moment here in 1996. We're approaching the end of the century. Not only that, we are approaching the end of a millennium. we are coming very soon into a new age. A new age which is going to be given to us and to mankind by God himself. And we're going to find the divine intervention of no less than Jesus Christ himself in world affairs coming up here pretty soon. And it's going to be in nature. It's going to be in politics. It's going to be in religion. It's going to be in all forms of society that you and I are familiar with. Get ready for some very interesting times that are just on the threshold of occurring. And some of these times have been prophesied even by Moses himself, even in the earliest parts of the Bible. And you know, when you go back to the earliest parts and you find the fulfillment in the latest parts, and the fulfillment can come, let's say, at the time that you are living, where you will be able to see these things with your own eyes, that will mean much more to you than if the prophecy was given, let's say, 5 years ago, and you see the things happening very quickly here. Because the farther back you go, the more grand and the more detailed the prophecy might be, and how the fulfillment is seen by humans themselves with their own eyes, generations later, gives more glory, more majesty, shall we say, more divine authority to God who made the prophecies in the first place. So that's why God does give us prophecies in the scripture. And he gives us other teachings as well. We have chronological teachings. We have doctrinal teachings. We have moral teachings, ethical, etc., etc. But we also have prophetical. And Moses actually said that God proves himself by the prophecies that he gives. Now, even in the earliest prophecies written in the Bible, they are very important because, you see, they include end-time prophecies which were given through Moses. Moses was telling Israel primarily what that nation would be doing in the future and what it would be finally finding itself doing just before the emergence of the kingdom of God on earth. The basic prophecies really concern Israel when you get down to them. Now, all nations are figured in. That's quite true. But they are figured in relationship to the priestly role that Israel has played as far as the other nations are concerned. And we find that most of the prophecies concern Israel. And in Moses' last year of life, when he, in his 120th year of life, was looking over the past career that he had had, 40 years with the Israelites, God gave him some prophecies to give to Israel, to record them, so that they would be in a written document that they could read from time to time, where they could be assured of what God was going to be doing with them in the future, and that what Moses was saying was not in vain. What he was teaching them were things that were true and right and good, and that Moses was saying to them, pay attention, take heed to these prophecies, because these prophecies that I am telling you now will find their fulfillment in the future, in future generations of Israel and the world, so that God himself will demonstrate that he is the power that governs all things in the earth and also in the universe. So what we find James, the half-brother, legal brother of our Lord, saying in his day was absolutely true in Moses' time, and he knew it, that God knows all things from the very beginning, all the works, everything. And he has a divine plan, which he has written here in the scripture, and he's given us enough of it so that you and I can appreciate it, that we can understand it, and that we can grow in wisdom as a result of it. Now, the basic prophecy about Israel, as I said just a moment ago, was given in the 120th year of Moses' life. In his last year, he wanted to leave Israel with something. Just like the Apostle Paul left 2 Timothy, and I quoted from that, he left that for the Christian church, for you and us, you know, the ecclesia, and we can gain knowledge from the last thoughts of the Apostle Paul. So likewise Israel, and ourselves as well, can understand certain basic teachings, prophetic teachings that Moses left with the children of Israel. If you will go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31, you will find in this section of Scripture teachings that were given to Moses in the last year of his life. They concern prophecies primarily about Israel. if you will look in chapter 31, and beginning in verse 9 here, let me see if I can pick it up quickly. This is what it says. Moses wrote this law. Now, he is talking here about the book of Deuteronomy, and it also includes Leviticus and Exodus and the book of Genesis. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, called by the Hebrews the Torah, which simply means the law, the sayings of God, the commandments of God. These first five books represent the constitution, shall we say, for the nation of Israel, the constitution for Israel, that it was to be given back there at the time of the Exodus. Now, there were other things added to that constitution later on by Samuel the prophet, and by David in the Psalms, and by Solomon, and by Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and other prophets. And then, let's not forget the New Testament, which comes along much later, but still, that was added to be able to give further, progressive knowledge, more knowledge, about what God was doing, not only with Israel, but for the whole world. And finally, we have it in these 49 books called the Bible. When I say 49, I hope you know what I mean. Read my book, Restoring the Original Bible, and you will see that there are actually 49 books in the Old and the New Testament, and Testaments, and they should be arranged differently than we have them today, but all of that is another story. But though that represents the very Word of God when you put it all together. The threshold teaching, however, happens to be this Torah, which was given to Israel. And in the last year of Moses' life, he gives a summing up of the teachings that were to be given to Israel when they would go into the land of Canaan. That's the reason the book of Deuteronomy was written. It contains much of the same information that you will find in Exodus and Leviticus and also in Numbers. But the difference in Deuteronomy from the others is that the others give information primarily for a wilderness existence. And in the book of Deuteronomy, you find it's more in a civilized environment, inside the land of Canaan, where they would have their homes in cities with walls and other things of that nature, and not living in tents any longer. So you have the two together here. And just prior to Moses' death, he wants to give these Israelites something to think about so that they would keep on their minds that once they would go into the land of Canaan, they then would have the essential teachings of God and the prophecies of God to lead them into a development into nationhood, into a kingdom, and then finally into the kingdom of God, if you go on farther and farther down the line, when the Messiah would finally come on the earth, and that Messiah did come in the person of Jesus Christ. So here in the end of Moses' life, or just before, he is summing up the experiences that the Israelites had had. And here's what he did in verse 9 of chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, that is, in a sabbatical year, at the Feast of Tabernacles, that's in the autumn of the year, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord, your God, in the place which he shall choose. Now, at first he chose Shiloh. Later on, he chose Jerusalem, and that's where the temples were built. You shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So here is the bringing together of the first five books of the Bible, and Moses giving it then into the hands of the priests and the elders of Israel. They were the authorities that were there to maintain these words of God. In these words of God were prophecies, and we're going to get to them in just a moment. Prophecies concerning Israel for the future. For the future, when they would be in the land of Canaan, but even beyond that, when they would reach out and find themselves into all areas of the world. And then finally, right at the very end, when the end of the age would be here, the condition that they would find themselves in just on the eve of the Messianic kingdom, that is the kingdom of God, which is prophesied somewhat in the Mosaic writings, but more so in the book of Isaiah and certainly in the New Testament period. So what he did was to garner together all of this information that he had accumulated over the 40 years of dealing with Israel in the wilderness, and then he brought it all together into a divine codex of books, scrolls, as they were in those days, five of them in particular. And he gave them to the priest and to the elders, and he said, I want you to maintain these, and I want you to teach them, and I want everyone, including the leaders, every seventh year to sit down and read every word of it, every word from beginning to end, and I want it to be done in the autumn time at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that was his commandment. Now, in the B side of this lecture, I'm going to go into what he gave the Israelites as a song, as literally a song, an S-O-N-G. He gave a song back there at the time of the Exodus when they went through the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh went in after them and got on the area where they were crossing the Red Sea, and you know what actually says there was ice associated with that, and the ice began to break up, and Pharaoh's army then were thrown overboard, thrown over into the sea. Israel escaped. But Pharaoh and his army went down like lead, sinking into the bottom of the sea from this ice type of condition that the water had come into. Once that happened, Moses wrote a song, S-O-N-G, the first. That is in 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. This one is his second song. This is his last song. This has to do not with a glorious overthrow of Pharaoh at the Red Sea, but what would happen to Israel in the future. On the B side of this lecture, we will see the interesting information, prophetic information he gives about Israel near the end of the age. Turn over this cassette tape at this juncture for the B side of the lecture, Moses and the End Times.